Howdy. You're listening to Wild West Filmmaking, exploring the outlaw way of indie film. Raw stories and real lessons from the frontier. Hosted by yours truly, Josh David Jordan.
Well, howdy, y'all. It's Josh David Jordan on Wild West Filmmaking solo this time. Just wanted to pop in. We have just gotten back from the first leg of our El Tanto Por Cristo tour of the film. It's an independent tour that we're doing ourselves. It's actually me and my producer and partner and wife, Jessica Jordan. We just got back from Louisiana, and we're going through the merchandise and getting things re-coordinated, and then we're hitting up the last leg of the Austin tour and San Antonio of the Texas tour. I just wanted to hop on here and just kind of pull the curtain back and let you know what we did, how it's going, why we did it, and the importance of keeping the control of your film. I'm realizing it as we're going along, and I want to keep doing these updates and, you know, explaining and letting everyone know how it's going for us. You know, I think obviously every film is going to be a little bit different depending on genre or, you know, the type of film, if it's a documentary or narrative, but maybe not. Maybe it's just the person. You know, this is like a case study. This is a live case study of what making an independent film on your own, owning it 100%, and then being the person who takes it across the finish line. You know, I was realizing when I was watching the film again in Shreveport, Louisiana, which is wild because every time you watch the movie, it's a different audience, a different town, and it feels like a different film. Not like good or bad wise, just like it feels a little bit different. We had our world premiere at the Texas Theater, at the historical Texas Theater in Dallas, Texas, one of my favorite theaters in the world. It's a 650-seater. We completely sold it out. We had great press from the Dallas Morning News. I was going to grab that. I'll grab that here in a second and show you. And we had the Dallas Observer talking about this. That's not accidental things. That's something that we worked really hard and pursued. And we got, you know, local press. And that's something that's really important. If you're doing independent film, there's not going to be a marketing team. You are the marketing team. I mean, obviously, you can hire independent marketing people. And, you know, I do suggest that you reach out to some people to see if they fit, to see if your film fits with them. And, you know, they take a fee and they can help strategize and contact people in their Rolodex, and that's really important. Or you can just, if you've been around the block a few times and you kind of know how that works, you can do it yourself. It's just one more thing that you're adding to your plate. And there's a lot of things that you're adding to your plate when you're doing independent film on your own. I mean, for us, it's been, like I said, we had merchandise, and I'm very particular about how things look, and I'm very particular about merchandise. And we put the score and soundtrack. Obviously, it just came out on Spotify, iTunes, all those platforms. You can stream it anywhere. But we also wanted something tangible. And so we did a double album. And the double album, you know, is accessible to be made and printed through different vinyl pressing places, but they need your art, you know, and they need it in a special certain way. And so I had to design all those things down from the, you know, the gatefold, the outside to the inside, to all the inserts that come into it, all the stickers that go in the middle. We put extra swag inside there. And so that felt like a full-time job as I was still hustling my other job, bringing in an income in between getting ready for this tour. We have t-shirts, hats, we have bandanas, we have stills from the movie, 4x6 prints, we have VIP bags, We even have a fragrance that is something that I put together that I wear. And we decided people that were on set were always like, oh, you smell so great today. And so I was like, okay, maybe that's what we bring that to the merch table. It's called St. Genesius by Josh David Jordan. So you have all of those things, all the merchandise, getting all those things ready. And we have a step and repeat. We had to get that to 8x10. You know, you break that down. We have a red carpet. These are all things that we're bringing to every single show on top of coordinating each venue. And you have to think about the time that you're releasing your film may not be a good time for the theaters to have availability. And, you know, it's not crazy expensive, but it's not cheap. But when you are, and then you have we used Eventbrite. So you have these ticketing agencies, and these are things my wife and her team are dealing with. You know, they have to get the DCP of your film. You know, there has to be insurance. And this being a film about orthodoxy, there's certain days that there's services and the priest are going to be there late, and a lot of the parishioners are going to be there late, so you can't have a show on those days. So you have to have shows on different days, and sometimes those days the theater's closed, so you have to find a different theater. And for us, we really wanted to put this into historical theaters, independent theaters, as much as we really could, just because it feels like it lends itself to that. You know, if you're inside of an independent theater, there's not a lot of just random, let's just say AMC or Cinemark swag everywhere, or they've kind of got it dialed in. They probably have, you know, really cool art deco in these independent theaters. They're historical and they're more intimate, you know, and the people who own them and run them understand independent films. So they understand that you need to get in there early because it's probably just a few of you, and that you need to sell merchandise, and that you need to take a little time breaking everything down, and then you're going to have like a Q&A. So that's about a 5-hour window, 4 to 5 hour window, when a lot of the bigger box theaters are going to let you in there for 2.5 to 3 hours max. And there's no selling merchandise. There's no meet and greets. And so you really have to do your research, do your homework. There's so many emails. My wife is constantly emailing everyone, the people that we've just talked to. You know, you forgot your DCP. We'll send that here, and make sure you pay the deposit and make sure you have the insurance covered. It's just a full-time job. But not to be negative about anything, because it's not negative, it's just a lot of work. And when you give your film to a distribution company, someone who's going to maybe put the film into theaters 1 or 2 days, probably max, if you're doing an independent film, they're going to, you know, team up with a big box theater, most likely, or like a big group, like a Fathom Events, or someone who has the inside hook of being able to block out cinemas that have empty screens. Well, they're going to just basically put your film into all those theaters on 1 or 2 days, and that's it. They're not going to send people out to talk about your film. They're not going to send people out to put up the posters, the marquee. That was something we had gone to one of our events 2 nights ago, and we get there and they had the digital poster by the screen, which was great, but they didn't have our marquee up. They didn't have the title of the film up. And so we had mentioned it to them, and they got right on it. They were great. It was the Robinson Film Center in Louisiana. They're fantastic people, great sound, great screen, great human beings. They gave us a whole entire corner. They already had a table set up for us for our merch booth. But you know, it slipped through the cracks and our name wasn't on the marquee. And it's something that you pay for. It's something, if you're a filmmaker, you have worked really hard and you want to see your film in lights. And so if we weren't there, it would have never have gone up. You know, people, when you do a film like this, an independent film, and you're putting it out yourself, word of mouth is the biggest thing. And with social media, it could be obviously your worst enemy, but it could also be your best friend of people reposting their night and their event. And you can give them hashtags, make sure that they tag you. You know, they have the marquee behind them and they say that they just went and saw your film and to go check it out in a theater near you. And these are all things that you have to be on top of as you're exhausted from actually making your film. And that's something that people don't really take into consideration, I think, is how exhausted you're going to be after you have had the idea of your film and you have all the pre-production and then you go through all the production. And then the hard part obviously is the post-production, where you're doing the editing, the color, you're doing sound design, you're doing the score. And if you're doing an independent film, you know, this isn't something that all happens at once. It normally is in these little chunks because of other people's time, because you're probably not able to pay them their full day rate. You're not able to, you know, reserve a big chunk of studio time. So you're doing these things in pieces. And you're probably doing other commercial work on top of that, or a day job, or whatever it is that you do to take care of yourself and your family. And so you're exhausted. And that's why they call it, a lot of times there's predatory distribution companies, because they know the filmmaker is just spent and you can't even think about the distribution process or how hard that is, because it's another full-time job on top of what you just did. And, you know, if you've had the chance to be at film festivals, that's exhausting. You're traveling, you're showing your film. It's almost like at some point you're just, in a way, kind of tired of it. You've just lived with it in your head for so long. And so distribution companies come in, and they are there to help. That's their job. But they do know that you're ready to throw in the towel, that you need help. And you just want it off your plate. You just want people to see your film. You want it out there. And you want it to make money. But that's where things get tricky these days. You know, times have changed. You know, it's not the late 90s, the early 2000s, where people are just dropping money at film festivals and, you know, you're selling your film for $5, $10, $20 million and you're getting greenlit for another film. I mean, those days are really gone, unfortunately. And, you know, there's always the people who do hit those things. Somebody does hit the lottery, obviously. Somebody's film does get picked up and they do get greenlit. But that's, you know, one or two or three out of the top big festivals that are happening with hundreds of films in each one. And then you have the mid-tier festivals. You know, really, to be totally honest, if you're not playing the top four or five film festivals, like a Sundance, a Cannes, a Toronto, a TIFF, a South by Southwest, and Venice, I really don't think that your film gets bought. I don't even know if distribution companies send people out to other film festivals, to be totally honest. They may, but really the odds of getting picked up at a high mid-tier film festival is really, really slim. And you can't, that should just be a bonus on your end of, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be amazing if my film got picked up? That'd be amazing. But if it doesn't, there's a plan B. And a lot of filmmakers don't have a plan B. I think plan B should be your plan A, to be totally honest, which is you're going to make a film and you're going to see it all the way through. And you're going to live with this film for the rest of your life. And that's something that's really important, is make sure whatever you're making, this feature film that you're making, needs to be something that you have to make, something that you are dying to see, something that you love so much that you can't sleep at night almost because you have to make this film. It's tearing a hole in your heart and your stomach and your brain. You just have to make this film because you're going to live with it forever, and you're going to watch it a gazillion times, and you're going to promote this film, and you're going to sit in a theater with people, you know, casually watching you watch this film. And so that's a big, big thing that I guess I learned subconsciously is, you know, my two feature films that I've made, I had to make them, and I love them so, so much. And it's something that I can revisit and I can watch and I can talk about, because you have to have enthusiasm this entire way. Because it's exhausting, because you're going to be talking to people every single night who this is their first time to watch the movie, and it's your 1 millionth. And they have lots of questions, and they're probably the same questions that someone asked last night. Or it's a question that doesn't make any sense to you. And as tired as you are, you still need to be attentive. You still need to be excited. And you know, obviously we're exhausted. It's a Saturday here in Dallas, Texas. We're packing up and we leave early Monday morning for more shows. And after we have all those shows, we are packing up and we're going to Greece and Romania. And after Greece and Romania, when we get back, we have a Midwest tour and then we have a West Coast tour. And so it's a lot, and today has been emails, it has been unpacking, washing clothes, trying to figure out what you should buy grocery-wise, because you're going to be gone for 5 more random days, and do you want to eat out because you've been eating out this whole time, you've been eating airport food or gas station food, and you're trying to take care of yourself. Mentally, physically, emotionally, it's really a strain on everything. And we all have ideals. And, you know, I remember saying to myself, you know, on the road, I'm going to be doing yoga. I'm going to be eating nothing but vegetables and lean protein. And then you've left the movie theater. You're going back to the hotel, and everything's closed, so you have to eat in a hotel bar, and it's loaded cheese fries and an IPA and sweet dreams, and then you have an early flight the next morning. So these are all things that you deal with and that you have to push through, because, you know, like Mark Duplass said, you know, the cavalry is not coming. There's no one going to save the day. And if there is, then that's a story to tell, and you're one in a gazillion. And if your film doesn't get picked up by distribution, in this day and age, it should not bother you. It will, obviously. It'll sting for a little bit. If you're not getting into high-tier film festivals, it's not like it used to be. You know, everyone likes to talk about Robert Rodriguez's El Mariachi, which it's one of my favorite books, Rebel Without a Crew. If you don't have that book, you have to go out and get that book and read it cover to cover. I think it even has an Audible now that you can listen to. And those principles still hold true on how to make a feature film. But the odds are sending a film that didn't even have a sound recording that you had to dub it in later when Sundance is few and far between, You know, when he sent his film into Sundance that year, he was one of 70 films. Now, I think this year there was 29,000 films submitted to Sundance. And some of those films are from Netflix. Some of those films are from Amazon Studios. Some of those films are from famous actors who have production companies, famous actors who it's their first time directing. These are all things that are going to be flagged first in line, first dibs. You know, the red carpet nowadays at these film festivals is it's bonkers. It's like the Academy Awards almost. It's almost like people want to go to film festivals to see celebrities because celebrities are at film festivals, when that wasn't really the case. It's when you found raw talent. It's when you found new voices. And yeah, there are still some, you know, to pull the curtain back a little bit. We submitted to Sundance and obviously we did not get in, but the head programmer sent us an email, this sweetest letter, saying how much he loved El Tanto Per Cristo, that he actually was pushing to program it. He was fighting for it, but a lot of bigger studio pictures had moved from South by Southwest to Sundance, and they had taken up some spots, and we didn't get in. But he said, don't think that this predicts the value of your film. It doesn't. It just means some bigger films got in, and that's just how things work these days. But good luck with your film. It'll find a home. It'll find an audience. It'll find a place. And so we really took that as our mantra, as, okay, there is an audience out there. And we did know that. And so the way to make this film successful is to throw the event for the audience to attend and for us to attend with the audience and to interact and to introduce the film, to be there when they walk in the doors and have our ticketing area set up and we're meeting people and they're looking at the merch booth. And, you know, a lot of times the merch booth doesn't make that much sense when you haven't seen the film yet. We've done a really good job with social media. My wife and team have done an extraordinary job of promoting this film through all the social media platforms. There is a new Substack, so make sure you check that out. It's Wild West Filmmaking, and it's a way to really follow us along on this journey. So yeah, that's where we are right now. You know, we are in the middle of putting this film into independent theaters, as many as we can, as we can go to. And obviously, once you do that, and once you're selling out these theaters and you're packing the seats, and it's people who do want to meet you and ask you questions because either they love film, they want to make film, they want to support film, and you get to shake their hands or hug their necks and talk cinema with them, you know, you've created a new fan base. You've created new friends. You've created a spider web, and you don't know who that person is. That person could be very well connected. It could be someone who is a part of an organization that does produce films. And there's nothing wrong with that route. Believe me, I feel at this point, I would love for my next film to be a film that is fully financed by a production company, where I get to pick some of the people. I'm a part of the process. I still have creative control, but I'm not making fake ash for a scene at 4 a.m. I'm not driving to Walmart to get poster boards at 2 a.m. You know, I'm not stuck in the mud because everyone already left for location and I'm in the van with all the gear and I get stuck in mud by myself. know, these are all things that happen in indie film that are great stories around a campfire with a beer in your hand, but not so great when you're in the middle of it all and you only have 15 days to actually shoot your feature film. That's another thing. And this film really should have been a 28-day shoot. This film really should have had a larger budget, but it did not. But no one in the audience knows that because, you know, Robert Rodriguez, going back to him, he said, if you have money, you have a money hose that you can just spray at anything. Any fire or any problem you have, you just get the money hose out and people just spray it. Just spray the money hose. Well, yeah, that can fix a few problems, but it's not fixing it creatively. And when you're a filmmaker and you don't have a money hose, you have to be creative and fix problems. And I promise you, 9 times out of 10, even it's stressful. It's very stressful. But 9 times out of 10, the problem you solved, you probably made it better because you've had time to look at it through a different lens. And maybe you never even thought of that. It was because a problem arose and you were able to fix that problem. I know in El Tanto Per Cristo, we had a lot of things that happened. I had an animal that had passed away before we had a chance to film the movie that I had sort of cast, I guess. And it was what I had written, is what I wanted in the film. And I had to make a fast pivot the day of. And the animal that's in the film is just absolutely perfect. And we have some great behind-the-scenes stories about this animal. And I can't imagine it not being that animal now. You know, all of our locations, you know, we probably could have had grander places for a longer period of time, but we didn't. And I think everyone was on their A game. Everyone was on point. Everybody knows we only have a couple of hours. We all have to. There's no hanging around in the trailers. Well, obviously we didn't have trailers, but you know what I mean? No one was hanging around on their Apple box, just, you know. So all that being said, it's the same thing with the distribution part. You're not able to just throw money at a bunch of things. And you need to be very smart about your time, about your travel, about your health, about your mental health, your physical health. And this is a chance to really build what happens next with the distribution, which is, you know, for us, it's going to be a live premiere, a one night only, where people that didn't have a chance to go to the theater because it probably wasn't in their town or something happened, life happens. So everyone can tune in on one night, and we're going to have an opening. We'll have the actors behind the screen curtain, and you can watch it from your couch or from your theater or from your laptop or wherever, and you can experience the film live, a live event, and then we'll have a Q&A that people can obviously message and ask questions. We'll have a moderator. And then after that, the film will be available for purchase online, and also the Blu-ray that will have deleted scenes, all the commentary, the making of. And that's something that we're working on as we speak. You know, whenever you see El Tanto Per Cristo in a theater near you, or you hear about it coming to a town, just know that a big distribution company didn't bring it there, that it was us. And with our own hands, we picked it up and we took it to that theater. And it's possible. And I really do think it's the only option you have, unless you just want it to go into the ether and hope people watch it somehow. But there's so much noise out there. There's so much competition. There's so many distractions. And the great thing about a theatrical release is people have to put their phone away. People have bought a ticket. They do want a night where they experience art and they can talk about it over an IPA in the lobby with someone. and they can meet the director and then take home a bandana or a hat or a vinyl record and have a piece of the film. It's like indie rock, you know? It's how people have always traveled. It's how John Cassavetes used to make his films, and he would take the reel and go to California because he shot the film in New York, and he would go to independent theaters and play the movie. And it was his film, so he got the box office back. You know, I don't think people realize that if you're using a distribution company to put your film into theaters, well, they're going to charge you a pretty large amount. And the theater is going to take 40 to 60% of the door. So let's say they take 60% of the door, the theater, and the distribution company takes 20, maybe 30, and then they charge you for P&A, print and advertising. Well, when it's all said and done, you may be getting $0, maybe 5%. You could be even in the red. You could owe them money because people didn't come to the movie. But this way, we are four-walling this film, which means we're renting the theater out. We're betting on ourselves. There's no split with the theaters. It's a straight-up buyout, and we are going through Eventbrite with our ticketing, which they have done a phenomenal job. You can see second-to-second analytics, payouts. You can move things around. People, it's easily shareable. And you're selling out the theater on your own, and you're keeping every single penny besides, you know, obviously what you've put down for the theater rental and then some fees from Eventbrite. And that's where the merchandise comes in, you know. You have something that people want to take away, and it's also helping you cover and fill in those gaps. And it's also helping you pay back anyone that was possibly a private investor on this. And it's word of mouth, because hopefully you're getting reviews in each city. You're getting articles. People are writing about your film in preparation for that digital release, that which is something that everyone does right off the bat. They just go right to digital release. And there hasn't been enough time for marketing for that. And like I said, in this day and age of noise, of so many distractions, this is a great way to remind people about your film before it comes out on streaming or digital and stuff like that. And then all the merchandise, hopefully you don't have any left. Hopefully you have done a great job and you've sold all your merchandise, and maybe you need to re-up, and that can go onto your website, onto your store, and you can have new merchandise for the release. And people that have bought the merchandise in the theater run are now looking forward to the new merchandise. And you have fans and people who are following you, and they want to know when your next film is. And that's what's been happening with us. Is the main question we get is, you know, what's next? And that's something you have to think about. You know, I have several scripts that are almost ready to go. And you have to also be writing in this process. You have to be planning for your next film. It's all exhausting. It's very, very tiring. And I'm saying that because I am today, and probably tomorrow I'll feel a lot better. But then we go on tour on Monday. But yeah, that's just a little roundup, a little catch up. Make sure you guys are following us on our Instagram, which is El Tonto Per Cristo Movie. Also, we just started the Substack, which is Wild West Filmmaking Substack. We're also Wild West Filmmaking on the social platforms, on Instagram and also TikTok. And I'm Josh David Jordan. You can follow me as well. Yeah, tune in. I'll keep giving updates whenever we're back in town. Maybe some stuff from the road. Just letting you know, we're trying to figure all this out as we go along. And it's working. And the best thing you can do is just do it. Plan. You know, people are always afraid to do something because they think it's not going to work. I think a big part of filmmaking is not being scared to fail, because if you fail at some part of filmmaking, you're going to learn from that and you're going to slowly start filling in the gaps. You know, early on, I was an apprentice. I was an assistant for photographers, for filmmakers, for studios. And I learned how to problem solve in the past 20, 25 years. So whenever something happens on set or something happens on the road, I'm able to quickly figure it out and solve the problem. So if you're out there and you're wanting to know how to get into filmmaking, hop on as many sets as you can, grab your camera and go out and make films with your friends on the weekends, use your phone and make some short films, and you'll slowly start solving problems. And that's really what filmmaking is all about, is having a creative idea and solving problems to figure out how to complete it. So, once again, this is Josh David Jordan, a solo episode on Wild West Filmmaking Podcast. We're going to hop back in soon and give you guys updates on the rest of the tour, about our European trip. That should be a trip. All right. Talk to y'all soon. See you next time.